Blog Talk Radio.
Oh. Okay, well. Tom? Mommy, are you there?
I am. Where's the music?
Well, the music is supposed to be keying up, but our little Hazel isn't playing.
Oh, God. Well, we've got millions of listeners right now wondering why the orchestra isn't playing our wonderful theme song. All right, let's just go straight ahead. Darlings, this is Mummy, and you have reached Come Now, Don't Sulk, on the Here Be Monsters program, the production company of Blog Talk Radio. Yes, it's Blog Talk Radio with the Here Be Monsters company, and we are on live right now in New York City. Come Now, Don't Sulk. We are coming to you live from the top of the Chrysler Building, the revolving ballroom of the Café Berlin. So glamorous tonight. And tonight's dinner specials include beef bourguignon and peanut butter and rattlesnake canapés. We got that from Mame Dennis. I'd like to just tell you right now that, first of all, on the switchboard tonight with all our operators is my wonderful producer, Gwendolyn Holdenberry. Gwendolyn, are you still there right now?
Yeah, I'm piping in.
She's manning or womaning, as the case may be, the switchboard, but she is also helping out washing the dishes. We ran out of dishwashers tonight, so she's helping out with the dishes. I want to remind you, too, that our production is produced every week and sponsored by DaughtersOfIsis.com. DaughtersOfIsis.com, run, don't walk to your computer. Well, you should be there right now if you're hearing Mummy. Unless you're listening in on one of those old-fashioned cathedral radios from the 1920s, DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. Do check them out for the wonderful products they make, all sorts of essential oils and wonderful elixirs and things. Oh, simply divine. And I think we're going to have to give our production crew some of the Daughters of Isis thought-clearing and mental-expanding essential oils so that they can help distribute them to the Blog Talk Radio folks. I want to tell you that a couple of announcements. You've been asking where you can read some of Mummy's writings. As you know, I'm writing for Fire Island News, which is the wonderful newspaper out on Fire Island and the South Shore of Long Island. Do run to them on their on your computer, fireislandnews.com, and you can download or look at their online copies if you don't get a paper copy. And I want to say a special shout out to Shoshana McCullum, my editor there, and Craig, my publisher. Thank you so much for having me write for the Fire Island News. It's been a joy this year. Also, tomorrow night, the last day of 4th of July. I'm sorry. I'm getting discombobulated here. Tomorrow night is the last night of July, July 31st. And tomorrow we're doing the Share the Love contest drawing. Remember that the more anecdotes and posts and recipes and jokes and political announcements that Mummy posts on Facebook and that you share, every time you share one, your name goes on a raffle ticket, and those raffle tickets go in a drum in our studio, and then we tumble that drum, and we draw a name out of that that drum, and you are the winner of a Sybil Prize from Zazzle.com catalog of Sybil Brunton products, and you get to pick the product you'd like to have. So the winner will be drawn tomorrow night, and the more posts you share, the more your name goes into the drum. So your chances increase wonderfully because you're sharing with your friends all the funny and silly and political stuff that we post on Facebook. And we have had past winners. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say who they were. Sometimes people are embarrassed, but I'm just going to say that Mary Jane and well, I won't say who won because it gets embarrassing. People get all cross and say, well, why did they win? And all right, Mary Jane Nielsen and Ann Lydia Gelbert both won. They're past winners. And we will have another winner at the end of August. Next announcement. Oh, come join me, please, Fridays at Cherries on the Bay on Cherry Grove in Fire Island. around 4-ish, we'll be doing our weekly Smarty Pants Trivia Challenge with Professor Budinski. And I want to say a special hello to Jackie, Kevin, and Will at the wonderful Cherries on the Bay. Wonderful restaurant, delicious food. Do go to Cherries on the Bay in Cherry Grove, Fire Island. And do join me Fridays at 4-ish, which is right before happy hour, for our wonderful Smarty Pants Trivia Challenge. No written material. It's all just waving your hands in the air and going, ooh, ooh. And by the way, I believe we're giving away giving away prizes this week, including Jesus Band-Aids and Hander Pants. Yes, are your palms sweaty in the summer? Sure, whose palms aren't sweaty? But now there's a new product called Hander Pants. They're underpants for the sweaty palm in your neighborhood. Yes, you go ahead and come and join us, and we're giving those away. Gwendolyn, I know that you're a member now. Sybil Brunson's Lollipop Guild. We had so many people on Facebook saying that they're just drowning under the angst and the anguish of the politics and the news and the headlines and everything. I mean, there's just no good news at all anymore. And so Mummy created the Lollipop Guild page, Sybil's Lollipop Guild page. If you're on Facebook and you're a member there, you have your own page. Go look up in the search window and look up Sybil's Lollipop Guild and join us. Those posts are all fun and funny and cheerful and delighting and captivating. We have people posting recipes and news about their kittens having puppies or whatever. Everything is lovely and sunny and funny and happy and helpful there. So there's no bad news on the Lollipop Guild page. Please join us. And by the way, people have been saying, where are my websites? And I can tell you right now, I have two, SybilSays.com and SybilBrunson.com. Sybil Says is spelled SYBILSEZ, all one word, .com, and SybilBrunson.com. Join me there. All of my stories, all of my past, all of my archives are there. The phone number for tonight's show, in case you want to call in, you really should, is 323-784-9639. That's 323-784-9639. My goodness, I've spent the first half of the program doing all those announcements, Gwendolyn. I got them in, though, didn't I? Almost on one breath.
You did. I noticed, Tommy, that you're talking about how hot it's getting and how people should be cooling down. And I was going to mention to you that before the summer's over, we're going to get you some bottles up there of our daughter's devices, Cold Hand of Circe. Do you know who Circe was?
Oh. Well, I'm sorry. What was the last part you said? It went out just for a second.
We're going to send you up some bottles to give out. Of the Cold Hand of Circe. It's our Circe blend. Do you know who Circe was?
Oh, great. Great. Well, anything that will save me from myself right now will be wonderful.
Well, it's a blend that will certainly cool people down. It's made with a superior peppermint and some bitter basil, spearmint, and lavender, cold lavender.
Oh, my gosh, I love that. Wait a minute. Did you say spearmint, peppermint, lavender, and basil all together?
Uh-huh, bitter basil, yes.
What is bitter basil something different than regular garden basil for the pizza?
It is. It's a little bit more peppery.
Oh, I love that. That sounds wonderful. That sounds very refreshing.
It does cool you down.
Okay. Well, I can't wait. Can't wait. And folks at home, do check out daughtersofisis.com. Gwendolyn, quick question. How many products are on Daughters of Isis right now that are available for the public?
We do have hundreds. There's about 300.
Hundreds?
Yes.
Oh, goodness. Well, the permutations of all those essential oils, it makes perfect sense. I didn't realize you had that many. I went to the Daughters of Isis page the other day, but I didn't see. My God, I guess I didn't keep turning the pages and seeing hundreds of products. That's wonderful.
Well, we have collections of many different cultures. And it's all these cultures, the ancestors of these cultures, their spiritual expression translated into fragrance, using essential oils to bring quality of mind, and they also heal and lift and cool you down.
That's wonderful. You literally are the Sears catalog of the 21st century, but with so much more of a spiritual turn to it, isn't it? It's much more wholesome than the old Sears catalog. I mean, hundreds of products. Imagine if you actually published a paper catalog version of your products, like the Sears catalog, well, there'd be no more forests left in North America.
I actually do. I do, Mommy. And people buy it for $35 because there's a lot of information in it about the different cultures.
Oh, that's wonderful. I didn't realize that. That is wonderful. Well, good to know. Well, we will get back to Daughters of Isis at the end of the program, too, today. But please, during the program, I know you're watching or listening to our show right now on your computers, this live broadcast. But do remember that at the end of the broadcast at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time or Eastern Daylight Savings Time, you can look up Daughters of Isis and check into their wonderful products. I want to move on. Oh, one more time, 323-784-9639. Darlings, a few weeks ago, I did a Poems with a Purpose, a poetry corner, and many of you responded and said, Sybil, please read some more of your silly poetry. It's quite lovely and quite escapist. And I'm going to read you a poem that I wrote a little bit ago. This is part of my collection, Poems with a Purpose for Preschoolers. Don't you like that? I think poetry should always be enlightening and bracing for even small children. This is from my book, Poems with Purpose for Preschoolers. The name of this poem is The Bonfire. Cindy tossed a bramble in, and Josie threw a stick. Maxie heaved his baseball bat. He didn't. Basil said he'd bring a chair, and Petey looked askance. Perhaps his grandma's Davenport might make the fire dance. A neighbor boy from Liar's Lane screeched and laughed and laughed. Marcy thought it insane, but threw in a wooden raft. A breeze picked up and carried smoke and sparks both far and near. And townsfolk noticed something wrong. Does something smell quite queer? The flames began to lick the grass, so dry from summer's drought, and spread to all the nearby shrubs, too late to put it out. The children screamed and ran away. They knew that they'd done wrong. But Cindy said, it had been fun, and Josie sang a song. Maxie ate a candy bar and shared a piece with Pete, and Marcy kissed the neighbor boy. She thought him rather sweet. And then the children formed a club and marched right into town. But no one came to say hello. You see, they'd burned it down. It's one of those poems that has that horrible twist at the end. You see, the children had burned the entire village down. And there was no need to explain it. Anyway, so that's our poem with a purpose for children. I hope that it edified your children at home if they're listening in. I want to address an issue that came up on my Facebook page. I posted a couple of those colored banners that say, you know, you're allowed 40 letters or whatever, and it's a bright color, and it's a short statement, almost like a tweet. And I posted something that said ghost guns. It was about the ghost guns, 3D guns controversy, as the case may be. Darlings, I don't know if you have heard on the news, but there is there's quite a scandalous thing happening. There is a new thing called a ghost gun or a 3D gun. These are guns that are being produced completely on the 3D machine, where you put in a computer program and a machine drills and carves plastic, and it can carve plastic into any object that you plug in there. It's a 3D printer is what it is. So in the old days, we had a Xerox or a mimeograph, and now we have a 3D printer, which is a kind of a misnomer, but you plug in what you want, and then the machine actually makes a 3D version of what you're looking for in plastic. And they have figured out ingeniously with our technology how to make, among other things, a gun. A fully working gun that is plastic, and the reason they call it a ghost gun is because it does not show up on X-rays. So it doesn't show up on a metal detector. which means that people can smuggle ghost guns or 3D guns into courthouses or schools or McDonald's or post offices or on airlines, I guess. I mean, that'll be the next trick. And what is alarming about this, darlings, almost as alarming as the children burning the town down with a bonfire, is that the plastic guns, the computer information for this is being disseminated all over the place on the internet, and that this is being protected, quote unquote, by the First Amendment. So in other words, we have NRA and pro-gun and GOP and Koch zombies, the Koch brother zombies, and Donald Trump are all claiming that this is allowed because it is protected by the First Amendment rights. So these are people who don't believe that someone should be allowed to bend their knee at a football game. They don't believe that people should be allowed to burn a flag as a protest because that's bad First Amendment behavior. Kneeling on a football and not standing and putting your hand over your heart for the Pledge of Allegiance or the national anthem is bad First Amendment. But promoting and sending out information for people to print up guns that cannot be detected is good First Amendment behavior. So Mummy posted a couple of things, and one of the things I posted was the sooner that a ghost gun or a 3D gun is used on a pro-gun, pro-NRA politician, the better. Fire at will and shoot to kill. My next post was look up the definition of ghost gun or 3D gun and tell me you don't think about a bullseye on some pro-NRA GOP Yahoo. Morons. Well, I think what is fascinating is that I got not a lot. I got many posts that supported it, but I got a post from a woman who actually used the S word on my page in my messages, and she said that even though she didn't agree with the ghost gun thing, that exhorting people to shoot and kill other people is bull S blank. And I thought, that's interesting. So she didn't see that I was saying all of that as an example of what we describe in the theater and film world, and in writing, the writing world, we describe that as hyperbole or overstatement or exaggeration, comedy of exaggeration, comedy of overstatement, comedy of hyperbole. And it was only meant half comically. So she caught me. She's half right. You know, definitely I'm half serious when I say that people who are pro-gun, people who live by the gun should certainly die by the gun, you know, and that's fair. But I had to send her a comment saying that she needed to get her Alzheimer's medication or her politically correct card revalidated. You know, either her Alzheimer's medication had to be recalibrated or she had to, you know, figure out her politically correct card. And I brought up Mel Brooks as being a famous Jewish comedian and writer and director and producer. These are the people, she is the same person, who would probably confront Mel Brooks at a dinner party and say, how dare you write something like Springtime for Hitler? You are diminishing the loss of over 6 million people in the Holocaust by making light of Springtime for Hitler and doing a comedy thing like that. Springtime for Hitler is another example of this kind of satirical hyperbole, irony, et cetera, et cetera. Do you understand? I think it's interesting that I have to explain to people on my Facebook page or indeed listening to this program, my progressive left-wing credentials. They're fairly intact, and I find it so interesting that I'm being attacked not so much by neo-fascists or the Putin gang or the Donald Trump gang or the George Bushes, but I'm being attacked by people on the left. And all I can say is that anyone on the left who's criticizing my comments or stuff, you're certainly welcome to it. Your First Amendment rights protect you, as do mine, saying these things. But I want to add that not only are you protected by the First Amendment and you're welcome to do those things, but sadly, you are a jackass. and probably stupid as well. So I don't know what your education level is. You could be an Ivy League girl for all I know, but you're an idiot. And so you're going to have to figure out how to get a stick out of your ass and join the 21st century. moving on. Having addressed that, I do want everyone to go back to the 3D gun issue. I want you to immediately, if you have not heard about the 3D gun or the ghost gun, I want you to run, not walk, to your computer, and I want you to Google 3D gun controversy and ghost gun controversy. I want you to read up on it. I want you to learn about it, and I want you to vote accordingly. It is less than 100 days. 100 days till the next election, and this 2018 midterm election is absolutely life and death. If you think that you're going to just sit on your ass and scratch your nose and pick your boogers and skip voting in November on this 2018 election, then you can go to hell, which is also what I said on one of my things. And I had some left-wing person say, you know, it's not polite, Sybil, to exhort people to vote. I said, you have to vote and vote appropriately. And he said, part of a democracy is that we don't tell people how to vote. And I said, well, back again to the First Amendment. First of all, I'm allowed by the First Amendment to say whatever I want about voting and to tell people how I want them to vote on my Facebook page and here on my radio program. I can say whatever I damn well please because the First Amendment protects me. You see, the First Amendment, dears, is a knife that cuts both ways. Joan Crawford didn't make that expression up. Here come the thought police. The siren is coming. Oh, good. They're passing me by. Joan Crawford did not make that up in Mommy Dearest. I know a lot of people say, oh, she was so amazing to say the knife cuts both ways to the Pepsi Cola board. No, she didn't make that up. That's an old expression, the knife cuts both ways. And the First Amendment is a knife that cuts both ways. We on the left have to be willing to listen to people on the right say things that we cannot bear, but we have to defend their right because that's part of the Constitution. That's part of the First Amendment. And I, on the other hand, am allowed to say I expect you to vote and vote appropriately in this dire, dire election that is coming up. And I want you to learn about the ghost gun, and I want you to – that is one of 100 issues going on right now, from immigration to women's reproductive rights. There's 100 issues that are at the end of the world. We are absolutely at the end of the world this election. You must vote, and you must vote crucially, and you must not waste your vote on Don Quixote's on the left. Yes, we'd all like to see Bernie Sanders or whoever else. We all like to see it, but we're going to have to vote very practically this time. We're going to have to draw the line. We're going to have to pick and choose our battles. We're going to have to figure out how, if we can't win everything we want, we certainly can win a lot of what we want by voting not for Ralph Nader and not for Jill Stein and not for Gary Johnson or whatever, what's Aleppo was, and not for Bernie Sanders. We're going to have to really vote and be practical this time. We're going to have to roll up our sleeves and really be practical, because otherwise the right, which is not fragmented at all, as a matter of fact, they're all goose-stepping to the Nazi party right now. They've all swallowed. Mitch McConnell has sold his soul. Paul Ryan has sold his soul. That idiot Cornyn, Senator Cornyn and Corker and Cornhole or whatever those three are, they have all sold their souls. And so we on the left are going, and we in the progressive, I'm not even going to say left, we in the progressive world are going to have to be a little bit more adult, and we're going to have to stop bickering. And two of you, two idiots, are going to have to stop writing mommy and saying, well, you're not allowed to say that, or I wish you wouldn't get to that. You know what? Put a cork in your mouth, shut your mouth, start fighting battles that mean something, and really figure out who your real enemies are, because I'm not it. Okay, so if you're so busy worrying that I'm saying people should vote properly or they should, you know, we should start turning guns on pro-gun people, then you are seriously in trouble. You are seriously in trouble, and you are making pals with the wrong people. You are PCing yourself into the oven, into the oven. The train will be pulling up at 3:30 to take you to Auschwitz where you belong. If you do not vote and vote carefully, you will be in the train that goes to the ovens, okay? Because there are people on the right now who want gays gone, lesbians gone, bisexual people gone, transgender people gone. They want to turn women back into baby-making, pancake-making, brownie-making slaves in the kitchen. That's why we have a show that is top-ranked right now called The Handmaid's Tale. That is why we have a show like that, because this is a warning. This is a strange dystopian warning. We are living in a scary time, and I'm sorry to say it, but all of you listening right now, we all have our saran wrap and our deodorant and our traffic lights are working and everyone can pick up a box of lime jello and everyone can turn on 10,000 channels on cable. Everyone can turn on anything they want and get anything, everything they want. And they think that the world is fine. The world is not fine. The world is not okay. This country is not okay. The rest of the world is looking at this country with its jaw hanging open and its eyes agape at what is happening to what used to be the center of democratic thought. And it is appalling. So I want you to stop needling and bickering and coming up with these sad little things when the big issue is whether or not you're going to vote and vote smart. Okay? That's the end of that. All right, next issue. By the way, Gwendolyn, if anyone calls in, that's fine. I'm going to move on to my other subjects. I posted this just recently. Indignation at my ghost gun and voter go to hell posts. Where's your indignation at the ghost gun NRA support and the stolen election? So I had these two people in particular. It's like indignation at my ghost gun and my vote or go to hell posts. Oh, my God. Where's your indignation at the ghost gun NRA support and the stolen election? Figure it out, people. OK, figure it out. All righty. Now, Mommy's going to take a sip of her martini and move back on to her next subject. By the way, a couple of you, happier news. Did you know we were doing a whole section of the show called Did You Know? And we encourage you to call in on our 323 number with your own little facts. Somebody said, Sybil, could you please repeat your Barry post from last week? I think it was last week that I did a post about how to keep freshly bought berries unmoldy. Sometimes they come in the house. You don't eat your blueberries or your raspberries immediately or strawberries. excuse me, I swallowed my martini olive the wrong way. And people will say, I don't understand. I bought fresh strawberries from the farmer's market, and the next day they're moldy. An old trick that I learned from my grandmother, take some white vinegar. You keep the berries right in the box. Do it in the box, whatever berries you have, in that little cute cardboard box with the vents on the side. So you don't take them out. You do this right in the box. You pour white vinegar all over them. Shake it all out. Some people will rinse off the white vinegar with water. That's not really what you're supposed to do, believe it or not. The white vinegar will disperse. It will vanish, and it will not affect the flavor of the berries. But if you want to, you can spritz them with some water, distilled water, and then shake them completely out and then put them back in the box and make sure the box is drier and then put it in the refrigerator. The berries will last 10 times longer than they would have if you just brought them home. Usually you don't get berries wet. Don't wash them and then put them in the refrigerator. Usually it sends them right over the edge with mold. That'll really increase the molding. So, but try that white vinegar secret. It's great. And I think I gave a secret the other day, especially with all this rain and heat. The heat has been just brutal for us gardeners and the humidity. Make sure that whenever you're pruning or you're deadheading your flowers or whatever, if you're using garden snips or scissors, always take a bottle of rubbing alcohol to the garden with you, and you can even put a spritz top on it. Spritz the scissors before you move from one plant to the other. Spritz them before you snip anything. Snip the plant that you want, but then don't go any farther. And if you really want to be careful, you could even snipping one plant, you could spritz the scissors, the blades every couple of times just to make sure that you're not moving bacteria or fungus or mold from one part of the plant to another, and certainly from one plant to another in the garden. Believe me, you will save so many plants. You won't believe it. So many people have plants die in their gardens. They think, what happened? All these black spots appeared, or this fuzzy stuff appeared, or this white stuff appeared. Start sterilizing your blade on your scissors or your snips, and you'll be amazed at how healthy your whole garden stays. Please call in with your own wonderful things. Sugar pack for hiccups. Yep, I just got a message on my computer. Remind them about sugar packs for hiccups. If you ever have hiccups, darlings, do what actors did all the way back to Edwin Booth and the Barrymores. Put a spoonful of sugar or a pack of sugar under your tongue. Just pour a pack of sugar under your tongue if you're in a public place, and don't swallow it. Hold it there and let it disappear. The sugar will short-circuit the short circuit that's calling you, causing your hiccups. Isn't that amazing? So for those of you that are diabetics, I'm sorry. Anyway, moving on. I was hoping that we were going to have somebody call in with trading trivia. We've got a new section of the show called Trading Trivia. You call in and ask Mommy a trivia question, and I will try and answer it, and then I will trade trivia with you and ask you a question, and we'll see if you can answer Mommy's question. Gwendolyn figures big in the show tonight, as she always does, because she's my wonderful producer. She texted me this week with wonderful news. For those of you wondering about how our program is doing after these months now, we've been on the air for about 2 months, broadcast stats, she called me and she said, so I've done stats for the Here Be Monsters Network and the show, Come Now, Don't Sulk, and I thought you'd like to know how it rolls out. Last week's Come Now, Don't Sulk show had almost 500 listens after the broadcast. So that means that people went to the Here Be Monsters link, which we post, and you can link, you go there, and you can see all the other shows that we've done, and the Here Be Monsters shows as well, are all archived right there on the Blog Talk Radio site. And you can click on any past show of mine or of the Sunday night show of Here Be Monsters, and you can listen to the show at your own convenience. No problem if you're not able to listen live. You can always dial up past shows at any time you like. But even though our show is broadcasting live to you at 8 o'clock Eastern Daylight Time in this entire segment, this grapefruit segment of the Earth, the globe, that we're all on the same 8 o'clock from here down to Brazil or whatever, the bottom line is that we have listeners live in all the major countries in the world, not just Europe, in the entire world. We have listeners in Egypt, Morocco, Peru, Greenland, South Africa, Australia. Countries all over the world are listening to us either live or listening to the rebroadcast. So that means that people are on the other side of the globe right now, where it's 8 a.m., are getting up. They are getting up at 8 a.m. to listen.
679-3999. Please leave a brief message at the sound of the beep.
At the tone, please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
There, and Mommy is disconnected at the moment. I'm going to try and get her back online for us. You are experiencing the Come Now, Don't Sulk Mercury retrograde welcome aboard. Mommy, are you there?
Gwendolyn?
I'm so sorry, but basically what just had is the Mercury retrograde Come Now, Don't welcoming to the season of planetary retro.
Oh, brother. At what point did everyone lose me? What was I talking about?
You were telling us what countries we can be listened to.
So it was only the last few seconds then?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll go back to that then. Darlings at home, I'm so sorry we're having these problems. It's almost like sunspots. Speaking of which, last week we were actually broadcasting to you from La Crosse, Wisconsin, and at that point we were looking for the suns, for the aurora borealis, the northern lights in the middle of the night there. We saw all sorts of shooting stars and everything, but we didn't get to see the wonderful northern lights, which apparently have been playing havoc lately. Mummy's timing was just a little bit off. I've seen them before, even out on Fire Island and up in Canada over the years, and I was hoping to see them last week. So perhaps it's sunspots or, as Gwendolyn so aptly said, Mercury in retrograde. I wanted to just go back to that announcement that Gwendolyn did make this week, that she let me know that we have we had 500 listens of people tuning in after the broadcast to listen to show, to the past show, just last week's show, let alone all the shows that have been before that. And our countries included all those exotic countries, wonderful South Africa and Australia, the ones in the Southern Hemisphere, so exciting. Hello, Australia. Hello, Francis, my dear friend Francis in Australia, in Melbourne. But also, it was interesting, and I was fascinated by this. Obviously, most of our listeners are in the United States, and our second greatest number of listeners are in Great Britain, in the United Kingdom. But this is what really stunned me, and Gwendolyn broke this news to me. Guess what country is our third greatest listener? I could not believe this. It's China. Believe now, of course, that seems logical because with 80 billion people, well, just the demographics alone, you'd think, oh, my goodness, there have to be more listeners in China than in Hartford, Connecticut. But still, it's just amazing that the third greatest number of listeners we have on Come Now, Don't Sulk is China, which I just found that very exciting. And I want to say a special hello to the Chinese and to say that I hope there's a way that our two countries can build bridges and build understanding and friendship, and not because we're just out tariffing each other and playing games. I hope that your leaders and our leaders move by the wayside, and that the people and the common sense between working people and family people and gays and lesbians in both nations and men and women in both nations and, of course, children in both nations. I hope that this 21st century is a time when we can build on that and not on a bunch of nonsense from ignorant, overpaid civil service people. And I include Russia in that, too. I hope that the Russian children of tomorrow and who are around today can build with American children and Chinese children. I really hope that we can build a new world through these children. I want to welcome you, please, to call in and discuss anything. You could even discuss my poem, The Bonfire. Our children, the question I guess I would pose with the poem is, are children born bad or are they raised to be bad? I know Rodgers and Hammerstein believe that they had to be carefully taught to be bigots, and I believe that. But are children basically wild animals capable of horrible things, or are they, and they need to be trained away from those instincts, or are children basically loving and open and wonderful creatures and acquire bad habits from their parents or from too much texting and tweeting? Feel free to call in on that. I was wondering if Jan Glazer or Richard were going to call in with Broadway trivia because I was ready. I was girded for Broadway trivia specifically. And since I do the Smarty Pants trivia show every Friday night out on Fire Island, I'm pretty good at lots of trivia. So feel free to call in with that. I'm trying to think of I got a couple of questions this week on different things, but I'm going to save those. Oh, pet peeves. Sybil, what are your pet peeves? And please call in with your pet peeves. You've seen some of my pet peeves. One of them, in fact, that just eats me alive. People who put their feet on the seat, either in restaurants. I was in an airport, and people were trying to find seats in the waiting areas. And people had feet on seats where people could sit. It was, like, so infuriating. That's definitely one of my pet peeves. Gwendolyn, do you have a call? Was that what I was hearing?
No, that was a ding from some rude person next to me has an iPhone.
Oh, yes. Do you? Are you saying that that's a pet peeve, or what are you saying?
It is a pet peeve, yes. I don't like when you're socializing to have someone constantly looking at the phone.
Oh, yeah, when you're social. Oh, my goodness, when you're having dinner with people and someone sits and texts or is constantly fielding messages and tweets and stuff on a phone when you're supposed to be visiting with them, it drives me nuts. And apropos of the phone thing, people talking too loud on the phone. You know, the technology is so good now on the phone that people can actually talk more quietly on their phone than they talk to the people across from them at the dinner table. But we still have people, and I include young people, who think that because a phone is against their ear, they have to shout into it as if it's 1890 and they're talking on a crank phone in the movie Meet Me in St. Louis. It's like, no, you can actually talk on a train or in a restaurant or in a public place more quietly on your cell phone than you'd have to talk to a person sitting across from you. And apropos of that, most civilized people, when they make a phone call in public, will actually place their hand over their mouth so that they're not sharing their conversation with everyone. And the ultimate on the cell phone thing that I think is just incredibly impolite is not only are you talking too loudly on the cell phone, but you are using it as a speaker phone, a speaker phone. I don't need to hear your idiot Aunt Edna's brownie recipe. I don't have to hear the plumber telling you that the sink will be fixed by tomorrow. Why are you using your phone as a speakerphone? Put the phone against your ear, turn off the speaker option, and continue your conversation quietly without sharing the other person's dialogue with all the people sitting around from you. These people that walk around with their phones, not against their ear, but displayed like a tray in front of them, and they're speaking to a flattened flying carpet version of their iPhone is bullcrap. It's ridiculous. It's like in the 21st century, we've got all the technology, and we still have a bunch of yahoos from the 14th century who think the earth is flat, and that's why they have to keep their cell phone flat. It's like, what is going on? Feet on the seat in Starbucks. That photograph I posted this past year of that bimbo sitting with her bare feet hunched up against her crotch on the cushions in a Starbucks. It's like, get your stinky feet back in your flip-flops and put your feet flat on the floor. You know, I love that the Arabic people believe that one of the worst insults you can give to another person is to show the soles of your feet, not just your feet, but your shoes. You never show the soles of your shoe to another person. That's why women are actually not allowed to cross their legs, because you'd be able to accidentally see the bottoms of their shoes. It's not actually a bad idea, and it certainly isn't appealing on a train or in a restaurant or in a lobby of a hotel. We were in Minneapolis in a beautiful hotel, and people in the lobby, this drop-dead lobby, had put their feet up on the sofa across from them with their shoes on upholstery. I thought, what kind of barnyard do you people live in? What mother would let her daughter put a shoe on an upholstered piece of furniture? It's like it's inconceivable. So pet peeves, those are two of my big ones. Strange noises during chewing, definitely. People eating weirdly, and then people holding their silverware like shovels or like weapons. Aunt Alicia and Gigi sums it up beautifully. She says, Gigi, more marriages have been broken up because of bad table manners than because of indiscretions. And I think that's a wonderful quote. That's so me. It's like more marriages have ended over bad table manners than over sexual dalliances and indiscretions. It's so true. I mean, my God, you see some of these people holding a fork as if it's like they're third graders or something. They're holding it in their fist or like it's a garden shovel. And they're using it as a scoop to scoop their beef bourguignon to their wide open mouths, chewing wide open while the food is a time lapse sight of the food being chewed, and you see what every bite does to the food. Oh my God! And then other people using a knife as a weapon when they're cutting their, you know, the fork is a weapon, the knife is a weapon. They're cutting their lima beans like as if they're in prison in the Bastille or something. It's like, oh my God, oh my God! It's amazing. It's just amazing to me. What else? Jan Glazier just messaged me. You're on a roll, hilarious and oh so true. Jan, call in. I've got some trivia for you if you want to battle wits tonight. We've got a few minutes that we can do that. What else? Oh, Mummy posted a story called Facts and Fables for First Graders. Freddie Makes a Friend. It's currently available on all my pages and most especially on the Sybil Brunson Lollipop Guild page. And by the way, I want to say a special shout out to my wonderful friend and historian, John Fricke, and his beautiful sister Patty Fricke and John Fricke. I was in Wisconsin near, I think, where they grew up. I'm not quite sure. And where their wonderful mother lived for many years, Dottie Fricke, their mother, who has since passed but was much loved. And lived to a great old age and was a wonderful person. John and Patty are fabulous people. John Fricke is the wonderful historian that you see on Turner Classic Movies all the time, conferring about Judy Garland, Liza Minnelli, and The Wizard of Oz. He is an expert on that golden age and those golden people in show business. And he's just an amazing person. So I want to say a special shout out to him. And the Lollipop Guild page is kind of dedicated to him in many ways. What were you going to say, Gwendolyn?
I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think Jan might be calling in. I'm going to open up the microphone and call 916.
Oh, great.
Go ahead.
Hi
there.
Is
that Jan?
It is. Well,
okay,
get
Jan, I'm ready.
Computer here.
We've got a few minutes. We've got a few minutes here. I've got some fabulous trivia. Collected trivia. I actually didn't have to collect it. I knew this trivia, and I was curious. So you ask me one, and I'll ask you another.
Oh,
ready?
No.
Go.
Oh, my God. I had quite a bit of wine for dinner. Let's see. Well, you ask me first. That might inspire me.
Okay. Here's theater trivia, because I figured I wouldn't do film. I would do theater. What 1989 musical was performed without an intermission? Which was revolutionary. In 1989, there's your hint. Was performed without an intermission and was directed and choreographed by Tommy Toon.
Until then, I was going for Les Mis.
Remember, if you answer correctly, you will win the 1952 Studebaker convertible that is on the turntable right now.
I think you're safe. You're completely safe. I could Google it, but Tommy Toon, huh? Oh, I love him so much.
I'll give you a hint.
He's so tall.
I'll give you a hint. Are you listening?
Right. I'm listening.
Let's Raise a Glass is one of the greatest songs in it. Let's Raise a Glass, which stopped the show and stopped the Tonys that year when it was the song that they selected from this musical to perform. Mm. The entire audience became apoplectic. They were absolutely transported by two of the male leads.
I wish I'd been. Yeah. Two male leads.
Richard is telling you in the background. I can tell.
No, he's not. He's in another room. He's eating.
Are you ready?
La Cage aux Folles.
Incorrect. It was Grand Hotel, based on the 1930s film Grand Hotel.
Well, of course.
Let's Raise a Glass.
That I would have known.
Let's Raise a Glass was the song that Brent Barrett and Michael Jeter performed.
Wow.
And Michael Jeter won the Tony for Best Supporting Actor that night. So, amazing. All right, I'll give you this one. This one you can get. What did the musicals?
Don't be so sure.
I'm sorry,
okay.
What?
Don't be so sure, but I'll try.
Oh, all right. What do the musicals, Chicago, and
yeah.
the Fantastics have in common?
Oh, are we talking about a star?
This isn't, what's my line? I'll give you a yes on that. I guess you're going to be Dorothy Kilgallen. So, yes, Miss Kilgallen, I'll give you a yes on that.
Chicago and what's the other one?
The Fantastics, and I can hear Richard in the background.
Well, yes, now he has kind of, oh, that's no fair. I didn't know you were going to quiz me.
This one's easy. Come on, this one's easy.
Well, now listen, when I did you, when I gave you Damn, 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 which anybody could get. And,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you right now that the switchboard is lighting up right now because Chicago
okay.
and the Fantastics, the New York crowd,
okay.
the gay New York crowd is going nuts
All right.
right now.
Good. All right. Well, that's okay. You go for them then. With my
All right.
blessing.
So it is a star that they have mm-hmm. in common. Chicago and the Fantastics, you're going to kick yourself when you hear who it is. Jerry Orbach,
oh,
of course.
I was just going to say, we Mama. Love him. You met him many times on the street, and you spoke to him, and he was
yeah.
always wonderful. And yeah. Well,
here's one that Richard will get instantly, because we're running out of time. Richard will get
okay.
this one. The Music
okay.
Box Theater, one of my favorite theaters in the entire city, the Music
yeah.
Box Theater was built to showcase the owner's musical productions during the 1920s. The owner, the man who built the Music Box Theater, featured his own plays in it. Who was that
oh.
owner? Richard
okay,
knows who this is.
He says Irving Berlin.
That is very correct. Ding, 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 ding.
Ah,
that is correct.
Dang.
You will win the Studebaker, the 1952 Studebaker
oh,
convertible.
You'll drive it out here to California, right, to deliver.
Right. He built it. Irving Berlin built it with producer Sam Harris, specifically
yes.
to house Berlin's music.
Wow.
And this is fabulous. Listen to this.
That's a whole show, that Irving Berlin.
Right. His first play, when it presented mm-hmm. its first play, the play was
mm-hmm.
called Cradle Snatchers with an unknown newcomer to the theater. This is in 1925, Cradle Snatchers, this unknown actor named Humphrey Bogart, who was living
oh my
on the
God.
upper west side in Harlem.
Yes.
The following
yes.
year, Chicago, the Maureen Dallas Watkins play,
mm-hmm.
was produced, and that is the original play in 1926 that was the basis for the Chicago
Poor
musical.
Chicago.
Isn't that fabulous?
Wow, that's fabulous.
Yeah.
That is.
I love that. Here's one
yeah.
last one. The 1960.
Oh, okay.
Here's one more question. I know.
All right.
Yeah,
this is my
I think
era
Richard's
going
to get this one too. 1960 Lerner and Lowe musical about the mythical king and queen of Camelot starred
yes.
which pair of actors who were the two stars of Camelot?
Well, Julie Andrews and Richard Burton.
That is correct. Two movie stars,
yeah.
Richard Burton
yep.
and Julie Andrews. Who was
right.
the third movie star in it? There was a
Robert
third
Goulet.
Movie star in it.
Oh, movie
That's
star.
Incorrect.
Was he Robert Goulet a movie star by then?
No,
maybe
he was
no.
not.
Okay.
Roddy McDowell was a movie star.
Oh, yeah.
He was in
okay.
it. And this is very interesting, apropos of Robert Goulet. What
mm-hmm.
two major later stars made their Broadway debuts in it? Robert Goulet was
oh,
an unknown
okay.
before
yes.
he was in that.
Yes.
And guess who the other star was? Never
oh.
had been in a show before. This is pretty amazing.
Ooh.
Less of a splash. He made less of a splash than Robert Goulet, but he became a major Broadway star, much bigger than Robert Goulet. John
oh.
Cullum. John Cullum was one of the knights in it. He
okay.
was one of the saucy, surly knights
Love
in it.
It.
Goulet starred mm-hmm. as Lancelot. That was his first
right.
role on Broadway, and that was major.
What a part. Oh, my God. Can
yeah.
you imagine?
And he became
your
a star
first,
overnight when they had
out.
Him sing on Ed Sullivan.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. He was a
Isn't that
he
amazing?
Was someone to swoon over for sure.
Yes.
Someone to swoon
yeah,
over.
That voice was spectacular. know, until, of course, he starts parodying
himself.
But yet,
you know, my God, we love Richard Burton. I mean, who's sexier than Richard Burton?
Richard Burton was like Rex Harrison. They were both terrified. They were British, straight, Royal Academy actors who were terrified of being in musicals, especially, coincidentally, both with Julie Andrews. That's really a funny coincidence. And they both learned how to speak, sing their songs. And, of course, I mean, people think that they own the roles that they created. Richard Burton is Arthur, and Rex Harrison, to me, is the only Henry Higgins. It's interesting these two non-singers were so terrified, and they were able to carry it off. Isn't that fabulous?
It's fabulous. Now, really, really quick, because this is really important. When I was in high school, I was in My Fair Lady, and I played Mrs. Pierce, who's Higgins' housekeeper. She has one singing line in the whole thing at the end of "I Could Have Danced All Night." And she tells Eliza, "I understand, dear. It's all been grand, dear. But now it's time for bed or sleep."
Yes.
But it's supposed
to be
sung.
It's actually not at the end. It's like it's not at the end.
Song.
It's the fact that she Eliza does a reprise of the whole that song. She goes to bed and sings more.
That's the more modern, I think. In 1965, I think the new version has a much longer, and there are other people singing in it besides Eliza and Mrs. Pierce. There are like other maids.
Well, I saw it just recently at Lincoln Center.
It's greatly enhanced and wonderful, but in.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you that Fritz Lowe came to our final performance and complimented all of us because he lived in Palm Springs. Isn't that great?
That's a wonderful thing to know that happened.
He didn't have to do that, but he did.
I'm getting a signal from our station master. I've got to wrap it up. Love you. I'm glad you called. Thank you.
Alrighty,
and put together some of your own trivia, okay, Jan?
Well, I will. I definitely will. Okay. Love you.
All right. Have a great week, and I'll talk to you later. Love to Richard.
All right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Folks, you've been listening to Blog Talk Radio, the Here Be Monsters Network, and you've been listening to my show, Come Now, Don't Sulk, which is produced by Gwendolyn Holden Berry. And our sponsors tonight were DaughtersOfIsis.com, the fragrant memories of our ancestors. Do run. Don't walk to daughtersofisis.com on your computer tonight and check out their hundreds of products that are available. I was so thrilled that Gwendolyn told me about that. There are literally hundreds of products that you can select from. Very exciting. And I'm looking forward to my care package so I can, I'm either having a hot flash or else the studio's air conditioning is broken down. A couple of announcements. I want to remind you I'm writing for the Fire Island News. Please go to their website, fireislandnews.com, and check out my articles there. And in fact, all the great writing that is being done on the Fire Island News, which is a great newspaper that goes services all 37 miles, all 17 towns of Fire Island, and the entire South Shore of Long Island. Have a good night, Shoshana McCullum. By the way, tomorrow night is the drawing for the Share the Love contest. Squeak in your last minute entries tonight. Go to my Facebook pages and share anything that you can see there. Whenever you share, I write your name on a ticket, and it goes into our raffle drawing. I'll see you Friday at Cherries on the Bay for our Smarty Pants trivia, and we will see you on Monday. We will see you next Monday on Come Now, Don't Sulk. We're here every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Gwendolyn, do you have any last-minute things you'd like to say?
No, but Richard Burton was the best Arthur.
Yes, Richard Burton was Arthur.
He was the best. He was the very best.
He was the best Arthur. Yes, and Rex Harrison was the best Henry Higgins, absolutely. Is there anything you'd like to say to our audience before we sign off?
Oh, I just want to echo what you said about all of these different folks from all over the globe listening in. We really appreciate you. And, you know, if you can, try to Skype on into us while we're live on air and talk with Mommy.
Absolutely. Remember, next week we'll be live, but if you missed our show or if you want to hear it again or any of our past shows, go directly to the link for Blog Talk Radio, Here Be Monsters, and you will see all of the Come Now, Don't Sulk programs listed there, and you can listen to every one of them. Special good nights to Mr. Payamas and, of course, Monsieur Rishi and Kenneth Talberth and all sorts of people. Good night. Thank you for listening. I will see you here on the radio next Monday. Oh, dear. I'm already planning my week improperly. Next Monday. See you all later. Good night.
Good night.